So you can read again the title of my talk. All our research basically have a single objective, which is to detail the molecular basis of wood digestion in termites. And here's a system that we're trying to detail. So we are working with reticulitis flavipes. I'm sorry, let me use the mouse. Oops, that was a bad start. And we are basically trying to detail that gut, which is basically a wood digesting machine. Okay, so there's a lot of. This is going to be annoying. There's a lot of enzymes that are secreted all around the gut, and reticulus flavipes is a lower enzyme, meaning that it has both eukaryotic and prokaryotic symbionts inside the hindguts. Let me see if I can use the mouse this time. So the hindguts. Wow, the hindguts will be there. Okay, that's where all the symbionts are, and of course, all the symbionts are involved into the digestive process, meaning that they are secreting a lot of enzymes that degrade wood, cellulase, gluconase, xylanase, that type of thing. But they're pretty much localized in the hindguts over here. There's actually enzymes that are being secreted in the midgut and the foregut, including the salivary gland, and those enzymes have been shown to come from the termite genome. So there's basically two different sets of enzymes, if you will. There's enzymes that come from termites that are encoded by genes that are present in the termite genome, that's the ones I'm going to talk about today. And there's other enzymes that come from endosymbiont population. If you think about it, it's actually a lot more complex than this, because there are different species of microbial organisms within the endosymbionts populations. Some of those species are actually fairly distant in terms of phylogenetic relationships, and supposedly they all secret their own enzymes. Okay, so there's a bunch of enzymes in there, and all the interaction between the states are not very well understood right now. One of the objectives of our study is to look at all those enzymes following a metagenomic project. Okay. So we're basically sequencing a bunch of genes, and we started by sequencing genes, or full genes that come from the termite genome. So we started working with guts that was removed or freed of endosymbionts, just looking at the genes coming from the termite genome that can encode enzymes that are potentially involved into the digestion of wood. Just to make sure that we're on the same page, that's actually the first phase of a more comprehensive project in which we're hoping to look at genes that are expressed by both eukaryotic and prokaryotic symbionts. Okay, right now we're looking at just termites, so we dissect guts, extracting RNA, constructing a senior library, and sequence a bunch of clones, so by EST sequencing. And here's the data of the result of our sequencing effort. We basically sequenced a little bit more than 7,600 clones, so it's 80, 96 well plate if you can do the math real quick. Did a little bit of cleanup, assemble some contigs. What we have now, what we're looking at, is a database that is that contains around 3,000 genes. Okay. And first thing we did, or one of the first things we did, is blast everything so that we can have an idea of what the genes actually are or what proteins they encode. And from those blast analyses, we were able to identify only 1800 or so genes, meaning that those genes produce a blast hit. All the other one, 1200 or so, are unknown so far. So we are trying to go through those, looking for some motifs maybe. A little bit of details about those 1800 genes or so. Here's a pie chart that represent or that classify the first blast of every gene. Taxonomically, so looking at the phylogenetic signals of the genes that we have sequenced. Not surprising, we have a lot of genes that are similar to genes that were previously sequenced from other insects. Okay, so here in termites, so there's other vertebrate, nothing surprising. I want to point out to your attention that we actually found some genes that resemble genes that have been sequenced or supposedly sequenced from under symbionts. Okay? So probably there was a little bit of under symbionts into our dissected gut. Not a big deal if you consider the larger project, since we are interested in looking at those genes as well. So I didn't discard those genes for the further analysis that you're going to see in a minute. Sort of like an early preview of what we're going to do in the long term. We have so most of our genes are of enzyme. I mentioned that there's some genes that looks like they come from under symbionts. We're actually not sure here if there's some type of misannotation of where. Well, I should mention that when you look at all the genes from under symbionts that are present in the database, those are come from EST sequencing as well, and they're extremely poorly annotated. So you know there's not a lot of information on that, and it's hard to establish any type of conclusion. So what we are trying to do is once we sequence our symbionts library, we are looking forward to some cross-referencing in between our library to make sure, try to point out or pinpoint, I should say, the exact phylogenetic origin of each gene. A little bit more time-consuming, but nevertheless, with the BRAS analysis, we were able to identify a list of very promising genes that seem to be, or that possibly can be involved into the breakdown of wood and large carbohydrate molecules. Okay, so I'm not going to show you a list of 150 genes, but I can show you a little bit of the type of diversity of the genes that we obtained. We basically classified them into large family depending on their growth function. So either they are beta-glucosidase, alpha-glucosidase, lignases, so all those particular type of families that were extremely interesting into characterizing. Okay. Another type of another representation would be that you find the family here that we identify, so growth family of enzymes that are involved on carbohydrates. And here I run some comparative analysis. So again, trying to pinpoint where those genes come from. Either they're coming from under symbionts, since we have a little bit of that contamination, or more than likely they're coming from the termite genome. Okay, so you can actually look at insects genomes that have been fully sequenced that are extremely well annotated, looking for some homologs. And you can see that, so I looked at three genomes that are for which the annotation is the best. Anopheles, Apis, Drosophila. So mosquito, honeybee, and a fly, if you're not familiar with the Latin names. And basically, most of our enzymes that we identify have a pretty strong phylogenetic signal, all come from, they all look like insect genes, basically, except here, the beta glycohydrolase, which is the family that would contain all the cellulase, glucanase, and xylanase, so enzymes that we are especially interested in. Nevertheless, there's a little bit of enzymes that are clearly comes from insects, an insect genome. Okay, here, and I'm going to detail that a little bit. I'm actually in the middle of, or in the midst of trying to annotate all those other glycohydrolase here. So either they're coming, either those genes are termite specific, or they're coming from under symbionts. And that's what I'm trying to figure out by looking at every single of those genes one by one. There's only about 30 of them. Those 10 here have an extremely strong phylogenetic signal. They come from an insect genome, as I said, and they have extremely well characterized motifs. So this family of motif of glycohydrolase are coming from that website here that you can see here. So I just follow their nomenclature, and here are the known activities that they are that they have listed. Okay, so we have a list of 10. Let me go back here. You have those 10 here are the 10 transcript or 10 putative genes that I listed here: 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, and 10. Okay, so 10 genes that are clearly from the termite genomes that codes for putatively enzymes that can break down carbohydrates. Okay. So the next step here is, as I annotate everything, that list is going to likely get bigger. And what we're trying to do now is looking at going back from the computer to the bench, so to speak, and looking at enzyme activities, whether or not we can express those clones, get the enzyme, look at the activity of every enzyme, and see if we can recover some of the activities that we are finding into the termite gene, into the termite guts, I'm sorry. Okay? So that's my conclusion. We have a very, very promising set of termite genes that are likely involved in wood digestion and assimilation. And that's considering not only the glycohydrolase, which I focused on, but we're also interested in doing the same type of work with the lignases. And so we are looking at hundreds of enzymes, potentially. So we have that tool now to detail wood digestion and assimilation. And you see some of the further direction that I already mentioned. So phylogenetic analysis, some gene expression data, knowing exactly which gene is expressed where in the gut, and generation of enzyme, looking at enzyme activity and what occurs actually in the gut. On top of that, I'm annotating all the ESTs, so 3,000 or so that we have generated, and we just kickstart in over Thanksgiving the sequencing of the Symbionts library. Those sequences are coming in, so I'm going to be able to compare everything and do more annotation. So that list of enzymes that are involved into wood assimilation is growing and growing, and hopefully going to be fully characterized at some point. I was only involved into the bioinformatic of the side of the project, so I didn't get to play with termites at all. So I need to acknowledge everybody that actually dissected some guts. We also have some technical support from University of Florida, as well as some financial support. Okay. And with that, I thank you for your attention, and I'll be happy to take any questions. ATC and G's. But I'm sure you'll find somebody in our groups that can answer your question if you're really interested.
Yeah, it's a symbiont. The termites can't live without the symbiont.
I understand, but my question is, in order to take a piece of wood, they can put it into the gut. Do they liquefy it first and get some semi-liquefied polymer, break down the starch, which is a long polymer that has the beta, if you know what the glucose structure is, a beta, an alpha and beta, the beta is unique to cellulose, because cellulose is not miscible. How do they do? Is it break small chains, so they have to liquefy them getting in, or they take a small particle getting in, and then work on it inside the gut?
Well, I have to do it. It doesn't really change the set of genes that they are using. So
well,
there's going to be some enzyme.
Might go to the saliva. And you might have some of the enzyme in saliva.
Yeah, but since the gut that we dissected includes the salivary glands, supposedly all the genes that are produced by the salivary gland cells are in our library as well. Yes. Well, It's possible that yes, some of the genes that we identified as being potentially involved in wood degradation would not be. Okay, that's part of the reason why we want to test every enzyme in enzymatic assays. Okay. Nevertheless, you can imagine a scenario since Drosophila and termites are, they're obviously not the same insects. So there's going to be a set of genes that they use for different functions. So maybe the termite uses a particular lignase gene to degrade wood. Drosophila uses it for who knows what. Yes. Yes, you mean that the blast analysis don't really provide a fairly accurate image of what the phylogeny of the genes are. That's possible. That would involve, checking everything would involve looking at every single gene one by one, meaning the 3,000 of them, and running some phylogenetic analysis. So that's not something that we are willing to do at some point.